This is a special announcement. There's been a quiz show scandal. According to Professor Thomas Johnson, the champion of the popular TV quiz show What in the World, all the contestants know the questions and answers before they play the game. Professor Johnson spoke this morning in Washington.
I'm very sorry to tell you that I knew the answers. We all knew the answers. It wasn't a real game. It was just a way to make money and make people watch the show. The TV show wanted new contestants to win because it's more exciting that way. So we gave the people what they wanted. And I was part of this. I wanted the money. I'm so very, very sorry.
Johnson also said today that he will not keep the $20,000 that he won on the show. He is going to give the money to a new organization called Truth in Television. This group will make sure that game shows on television are real and fair. He will give his game show money to this group, and he said that the other contestants should all do the same thing. From New York, this is Robert Sargent.
I guess I worry about the same things other kids my age do. You know, grades and getting along with my parents and stuff like that. I guess I'm doing okay in school, but I have to study really hard. I just want to make sure that my grades are good enough so I can get into a decent university. I'm pretty much like everyone else. I go to classes, attend club meetings after school, and then do my homework at night. Weekends are great because I get to sleep late. And, I'm also a member of the orchestra at school. I play the violin. My school is a little different from other schools in the U.S., though. We study all the core subjects, like most other students. In the morning, science, math, English, history, the usual stuff. But unlike the other schools, we study things like music, dance, and art in the afternoon. See, I go to a special school for the arts. A lot of us have dreams of becoming dancers or singers someday. That's why we spend so much time learning about the arts. So, yeah, I guess my life is pretty different from most kids my age.
I don't know. My life is pretty typical, I think. I head off to school at 7 in the morning, and school finishes around the middle of the afternoon. After school, I usually study or play soccer. On weekends, I like to get together with my friends. We usually hang out in one of the shopping centers. Everyone just shows up there on Saturdays and Sundays. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. I think one way I'm kind of different is that I like to do my own thing sometimes. I don't always want to hang out with the group, you know? My friends always want me to hang out with them, but I don't always listen to what they say. I guess you could say that I think for myself. Sometimes it makes my friends upset, but too bad. That's just the way I am. But really, overall, I think I'm pretty typical for my age.
My name is Kate Williams, and I am the Bursar's PA and College Secretary at Corpus Christi College here in Cambridge. Corpus Christi is one of the older colleges in Cambridge. It was founded in 1352, and it's the only college in the universities of Oxford and Cambridge to have been founded by the townspeople. I work for the Bursar, I'm his assistant, and I'm also the college secretary, so I juggle both of those jobs. The Bursar looks after the operational running, day-to-day running of the college, so he is in charge of the staff and in charge of the buildings. From a college secretary point of view, I look after the general admin of the college, so I make sure that the college council meetings run okay, that the minutes are done properly, that we have proper records of those minutes, and anything really that doesn't fall under one of the other departments. I haven't always lived in the Cambridge area. I come from just north of London. And so when we moved into this part of the world, it was always in the back of my mind that it would be nice to work for one of the colleges because they are such nice places to work in. So to get the job here was really quite nice and quite pleasing. Corpus Christi is special because its uniqueness in the fact that it was founded by the townspeople. It has the oldest medieval enclosed court in either Oxford Oxford or Cambridge, so that's unique. It's quite small, so we have a very tight-knit community amongst the students, staff and fellows. We all know each other, so we all look out for each other as well, and the students, particularly in their first few weeks with us, find that very helpful because we can all sort of look out for each other. And it's friendly. It's just one of the best, I think, but then I'm biased because I work here. What I like best about my job is its variety. I come in the morning, it's not monotonous, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing during the day, and I get to work in a wonderful environment like this. If I hadn't chosen this particular profession, I would be an archaeologist. That was what I initially trained to do and wanted to do. I still do it in a part-time capacity, so that's what I would be doing if I wasn't standing here now.
How do you enjoy living in Sydney, Maria?
I love it. I lived in a little mountain town in the US before I moved here, so I'm really enjoying Sydney life, and the climate is great most of the year.
What do you like most about it?
Well, for one thing, it's a very easy city to get around. The public transportation is pretty good, which is important for me because I don't have a car. So, you see, I use buses and trains most of the time. I can usually get wherever I want to pretty easily.
How about you, Ian?
Well, it's a very beautiful city. I love the harbour and the opera house. And the beaches are great, of course.
Oh, yeah, the beaches are great. There are great beaches close to town, like Bondi Beach.
I know, it's true. But I don't have a lot of time to go to the beach because I have to work two jobs to make enough money to pay the rent. Actually, I'd really prefer to live somewhere smaller. I find Sydney too fast, too noisy, and definitely too expensive.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky, but my rent's not bad at all. Actually, since I'm splitting the rent with two roommates now, it's about the same as I was paying in the US. And, yeah, I love the nightlife here too. On weekends, my friends and I usually go to a club or a place with live music. There's always something interesting going on downtown. I've made lots of friends since I moved here.
That's great. Ian, what do you do for fun in Sydney?
Well, not much, I'm afraid. It's so expensive to do anything here. Also, you know, because of the high rents, I can only afford to live out in the suburbs. And there isn't much happening out there, believe me. I guess once in a while I like to go to Chinatown, though. There are plenty of restaurants there where you can eat fairly cheaply. Good ones, too.
Is that right? I can't seem to find cheap food anywhere. In fact, the restaurants near me are so pricey that I hardly ever eat out.
All right, here's a question. If you could change one thing about the city, what would it be?
The traffic, without a doubt. I used to drive back in my hometown, but I hardly ever drive here. There are far too many cars, and drivers are very aggressive. You have to know where you're going, and you have to drive fast, otherwise other drivers can be really rude.
See, I don't have a car, so that doesn't really bother me. Actually, you know, I wouldn't change anything. It's so much better here than the tiny little town where I used to live.
I don't know. Sometimes I think life is better back home. Sure, it's smaller, but it's easier to live a good life. And you get to know the people better, too.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome to Still Unsolved Mysteries. Tonight, we're going to talk about the strange case of Betty and Barney Hill. They were convinced that one night in 1961, they were abducted by aliens. Could this really have happened? Martha Stevens is here to talk about it. Martha, what's the story?
Hi, David. Well, one night, while the Hills were driving home from a vacation in Montreal, they saw a bright point of light in the sky. Barney assumed it must be a plane or maybe a satellite, but Betty thought it could be a UFO. There were no other cars on the road, so Barney drove slowly so they could watch it. The object seemed to be flying beside them. Barney began to agree that it couldn't be a plane, so he stopped the car. And Betty said she saw about 10 creatures looking at them through windows in the object.
And then what happened?
As they drove quickly away, they suddenly felt tired, and their bodies felt strange. Their next memory was driving on the highway again. They arrived at their home early the next morning. They said things were still strange.
How were they strange?
Well, they couldn't remember the drive home clearly. Betty found pink powder and stains on her dress. She had no idea where they might have come from.
Did they contact anyone?
Betty wrote a letter to the Air Force about their strange experience and about the terrible dreams she was having. The Air Force said Betty must have been having the dreams because she thought she saw a UFO. They said she couldn't have seen aliens. Betty and Barney were interviewed and hypnotized many times by doctors. They told stories about having medical tests on the spaceship.
What did the doctors think?
They doubted the story. They said dreams like this can be triggered by science fiction TV shows. Barney's description of the creatures matched creatures from a TV show. Doctors figured the Hills must have seen the show. Betty said Barney couldn't have seen the show because he worked in the evenings when it was on TV.
I suspect the doctors were right. That must be the real explanation.
Well, maybe. There's one more thing. Doctors asked the Hills what time they left Montreal and what time they got home. The trip should have taken 4 hours. The Hills were amazed to realize it had taken them 7 hours. What happened to the missing 3 hours?
Good question, Martha. I guess that's why it's still an unsolved mystery.